Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show. And it's Halloween. Oh, my goodness. Halloween day here in Tucson, Arizona. And oddly enough, the weather usually kind of signals the end of summer, John Munger, for us. You've been around a long time,
yeah.
And so have you, Vince Robigo. Isn't that right? Kind of Halloween is sort of our official end of summer.
That is correct.
Yeah, I mean,
it is every year.
Every year, and now we're finally going this week get to maybe some normal temperatures, like 80 degrees.
That's right. It's been kind of frightening how warm it's been.
Yeah, and of course,
I've loved this summer.
You do.
I mean. Unless it gets over 105, I'm comfortable.
Huh.
It's not a big deal.
Wow.
90s is fine with me. It's very comfortable.
You could live with a 90-degree year-round.
Yeah, sure.
Mm. It's just unusual that it's still this warm this far into the year.
And isn't it called Murphy's Law? When I went home after the show, I think it was Wednesday, the hottest temperature ever recorded so late in the year, the air conditioning had the pump had burned out, of course.
Listen, talk about living where it's hot. How about Dallas and Miami and Atlanta and Washington, D.C.? We're so lucky to live here in the summer. It is, in fact, a dry heat.
Yes.
And we've all been in the summer in some of these other southern cities. It's a lot hotter and a lot less comfortable there.
Yeah.
And cooler than Bullhead City and, the Mojave Desert and Las Vegas. Phoenix, for that matter. Yeah. There's a lot of places that are a lot harder, even with the dry heat.
This is a great climate.
It is our Monday political face-off. Commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. In 2010, John ran, of course, as a Republican for governor of the state of Arizona. And Vince Robigo is with us. Vince is also a well-known Tucson attorney. He's a longtime Democrat, Democratic Party activist, and former Arizona Attorney General candidate. That also was in 2010. There must have been something in the water that year. John and Vince got together and said, maybe each of us should run for statewide office.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. My campaign was all John's fault. He encouraged me to do it. That's what happened.
Vince also heads up the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. Thank you to Mo and his wonderful family for supporting our Monday political face-off. Mo loves good political discourse, and I think we deliver the bill every Monday here on the Buckmaster Show with the face-off. Mo and his family have been running the business since 1985. Mo specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Guess what we're going to talk about, guys?
The election, by
by chance, a week from tomorrow, is Donald J. Trump, John Munger, going to shock the world?
Yes, he is. I think that this election is rapidly turning in his favor. You've got a lot of Democrats who didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton in the first place, and independents. They're just not going to cast a vote. Many of them can't bring themselves to cast a vote for Hillary. The Republicans are coming home. The numbers are way up for Donald Trump. He's going to have a lot of people voting who've never been polled because they are not likely voters, and likely voters is what get polled. It's going to be the Brexit effect, where a lot of people turn up. In Britain, 2 million people turned up to vote for Brexit who had never voted before or rarely voted. That would translate into 10 million people in the United States.
Yeah, and John and Vince, one thing that jumps out at me on that Brexit polling, the polls had that of the UK staying in the EU anywhere from 5 to 8%.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Trump
is amongst likely voters within 1 or 2 or 3 points, depending on the poll.
So you think he's in real good shape, right?
I think he's doing fine, as long as he doesn't make a mistake.
as long as he does.
That's always possible.
All right, Vince, I think you've got a different take on this.
Well, yeah, it's going to be awfully hard to
sequester
Donald Trump for the last 7 days to keep him far from any camera. But the reality is there's been so much out there. You know, what's been fascinating, at least my observation of all of the things that have come out about Donald Trump, is that there has been just so much that it's you almost become desensitized to it. I mean, like, I was just thinking about that on the ride over here, how to date he's still the first major party presidential candidate in modern times that has not provided his tax returns. Yeah. You look at these issues that are coming out about his past, which he tried to keep his own campaign from doing a background check, and there's just been so much. It's been a deluge, and so the issues that whether or not there's going to be this sort of hidden vote that comes out, I think the numbers are certainly up across the country. The numbers of new registered voters in Arizona are up, but they're not up as much as they were. Like, the percentage increase in Arizona is not greater than it was in 2008. And you would think, in a state where Donald Trump has now appearing, I believe, for the sixth time, mm-hmm. that there would be huge increases in numbers, but they're not there.
Well, they're not polling anybody but the likely voters. There's a lot of registered voters out there who aren't considered likely voters and therefore aren't polled. And
what is considered a likely voter?
Somebody, I don't know the numbers, but I certainly Vince and I, and probably you, Bill, vote every election, and we're certainly likely voters. They count how many times have you voted in the last X number of elections. That's a likely voter, somebody that has a likelihood of showing up to the polls. There's a lot of people out there who vote very infrequently. And they're still registered voters, but they just can't seem to get to the polls, and therefore are just registered voters, not likely voters. But I think this is I think this election over the news out about Hillary Clinton and how corrupt she is, even to the point now today where it's come out that Donna Brazile, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, was feeding questions to Hillary Clinton that would be asked at the debates. Donna Brazile has now resigned from CNN, and interestingly, the Democrats all say, "Oh, these WikiLeaks all came out from the Russians." But you note the Democrats have never said the emails aren't true. They just say, "Well, these have been hacked." And yeah, that's fine. They've been hacked. But are they true? And the Democrats never say, although Donna Brazile said that she had not fed questions to Hillary Clinton, and now the leaks show that she did. And she hasn't denied the emails that they've pointed to where she specifically fed a specific question to Hillary Clinton. This type of corruption that's been going around in the Democratic Party, this pay to play, is horrendous, and the American public is fed up with it.
But Vince, we don't know what's in this latest batch of emails.
Well, before we even get there, before we even talk about this new material that was in a different laptop by the husband of an aide to Secretary Clinton, let me just address what John just said about WikiLeaks and the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was stunning, about a week and a half ago, the propagandist newspaper in Russia, Sputnik, published one of these alleged emails and tried to essentially, it was published in a way that was saying, there was this corruption and something had gone wrong. And then it was quickly taken down. And it turned out later that it was actually incorrect. Basically, they had taken something out and mischaracterized it, presented it to the world, and took it down within hours of it being published. And within hours of it actually going up, Donald Trump was campaigning on points that were being presented that was false by the Russians. You can read all this. It's been well publicized with respect to the investigative journalist Kurt Eichenwald.
So you're saying he's got like a pipeline to
exactly.
The
Russians. Exactly. Well. And to the extent that the U.S. officials have already concluded and said that their conclusion is that the hacks into the DNC were by somebody operating out of Russia, and that's happening.
Well,
while at the same time you have Donald Trump saying, "Hey, go ahead, hack into these things.
Know,
this
so
is a good
what?
Thing." And yet we don't have. You ask why we have reason to be outraged and suspicious when Russia is trying to play a
all the
role
Democrats
in our
have
elections?
To do, Vince, is deny,
it's
that, the, deny that the emails are true.
No, all answer that point. You brought up Russia.
I don't care
you
where
brought
the,
up the,
I don't
the emails.
Care
I'm bringing
they,
up points, and you don't want to answer them.
You know, the answer, Vince, is if Hillary, Hillary Clinton hadn't deleted 33,000 emails abused, extremely abused, according to the FBI director, her security procedures. If they hadn't deleted these emails, we wouldn't have to get them through anybody. And the Democrats have not denied that these emails are true. Let's stay on the merits of the thing. You know, we finally got the truth out, and the Democrats aren't denying it.
All right, it's the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger, Vince Robigo. Mike, I know you're waiting. If you can wait through the break, you will be up first, I promise. It's Buckmaster on a Monday.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at RTAMobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. Vince Robigo is with me, seated to my left, and John Munger to my right. A couple of callers, and I promised Mike that right after the break, the Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing would take your call. Mike, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Bill. Mm-hmm. You're a very, very honest person there.
Thank you.
I think this goes all the way back to Benghazi. And I think early on, the Justice Department agreed when they knew Hillary was going to be in problems. They were just going to say, don't worry, you covered my butt, and I'm going to cover your butt.
Exactly.
The FBI ever give immunity to four or five, whatever number of people they are, would never give the immunity unless you knew that they were going to prosecute somebody in the end. And then not to do anything about the emails. Vince, I can't believe you're denying or not even commenting on this thing, that she's set this whole thing up so that she could have plausible deniability.
Yeah, okay. Meeting with Bill Clinton in the airplane.
And in all fairness, Mike, Vince did say, because I did bring it up, the emails earlier in the program, and you said that you would comment. And now is your turn to comment on that.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. And let me address Mike's point. First of all, it's inconceivable that a person who is not in office has the power to orchestrate direct criminal decisions in the U.S. Department of Justice in the separate entity, which is under the DOJ, the FBI, to make some sort of grand conspiracy to make an agreement that these people will be given immunity and therefore you're not going to prosecute me. I mean, it's really what I hear from that kind of a question really shows a total lack of understanding how, number one, a prosecution agency works, number two, how a law enforcement agency works, and how these two are actually under the same umbrella but different agencies. And so, for example, we get into this question about the emails that in relation to this letter that Director Comey sent out. Now, when he first announced back in July had this press conference and came out and said that the very first step in him doing that, there's been a series of mistakes in unfortunate events from Director Comey. Now, I don't know the gentleman. I know he's well respected on both sides of the aisle as a man of integrity and someone who's independent. But when he first, so ordinarily, like any criminal case, as John will tell you, the law enforcement agency doesn't get up, and the head of the law enforcement agency doesn't get up and say, we're not going to prosecute this person. And you know why that happens? It doesn't happen. It's because the law enforcement agency doesn't make that decision. It's the lawyers over in the prosecution arm, in any prosecution agency, whether you're looking at the state level or here at the federal level, they're the ones that review a recommendation of a law enforcement office. And so, first of all, when he first came out and said that and then started to give his personal opinions,
yes,
there was already that was already a breach of protocol in the first instance.
Well, I don't disagree with that, Vince, but I mean, it was extraordinary for Comey to make his statements, but then to make his statements and say she was extremely careless with her confidential and top secret information or classified information.
Oh, he made that statement back in July.
Back in July. He went through this whole process of personally indicting her and then said, but we're not going to prosecute. And I will tell you, any FBI agent will tell you that what normally would have happened in this situation is they would have taken it to the DOJ and they would have gone through a grand jury, which they didn't do. Why didn't they do it? Because the head of the DOJ is meeting with Bill Clinton on the airplane. I will I will bet you that that Loretta Lynch, the head of DOJ, will be Hillary Clinton's next attorney general. And that is because there was some information out that she was told by Hillary Clinton that Hillary wanted her to be the next attorney general.
All right.
This is all baked in. It's pay to play.
All right, Cynthia, let's take your call here. You've been waiting very patiently, and I appreciate it. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Oh, thank you. My question is, at this point, would you advise Huma Abedin to consult a criminal defense attorney, one who's not connected to the Clintons?
She better. She needs a criminal defense attorney badly.
What do you
because
think?
she has, quite obviously, from what I'm reading in the news, and I'm not guessing at this, I've been reading this, there are classified emails that she sent to her husband that she got from Hillary that she passed on to Huma, passed on to her husband, which is a clear violation of the law. Okay. And she also didn't disclose to the FBI all of her electronic devices. That is why the FBI is just finding these new emails on devices she has never disclosed, despite her representations to the FBI. And lying to the FBI is a felony.
Well, let me just interject this. First of all, we don't know what's in any of this. So these assertions by John are really unfounded, and I don't know whether or not this person needs any kind of a lawyer, first of all. Secondly, it was kind of shocking that just yesterday, I believe it was, days after this announcement, and I'll get to that because we haven't even addressed that part of it
quickly,
yet.
Quickly, if you would,
So let me just address that.
Yeah.
So then after what I mentioned what happened previously, then also essentially breaking protocol, when Dr. Comey went to Congress and said, I'll keep Congress informed of this, that's also not – the FBI doesn't have any – they're supposed to be independent. Congress does not have oversight authority of a criminal investigation.
Is that prosecutable?
No, I don't think it's prosecutable. Let me finish. I haven't had a chance to even address this.
Go on forever, Vince.
I don't think so. You can add up the tape at the end of the day. I'm sure Bill can run that for you and do some mathematics.
Go ahead, Vince.
So what happened is ultimately they don't have oversight authority. The investigation was completely closed at that point.
He told Congress what he did. He wrote to Congress. And he said to Congress, I have testified under oath that I wasn't going to pursue this any farther. And all the evidence was in. He felt obliged. He was in an impossible position. He felt obliged to tell Congress via this letter that he had found new information and was therefore obligated to tell Congress that what he had told him before was untrue. This guy had no choice. Now, let me just tell you. Hillary would not be in this problem if she hadn't deleted and hidden all of these emails. I will tell you also that Hillary talks about, disclose all of this evidence. Hillary has all the evidence. Huma Abedin has all of this evidence. All they have to do is go into Huma's computers and print out the stuff and send it to the newspapers, but they don't want to do it.
Now it's Vince's turn.
Okay. So when Director Comey then... based on evidence, this new material that they found not in Ms. Humadine's computer. Let's clarify again, because John is stating some inaccuracies. In her husband's computer.
Mm-hmm. From her.
And purportedly there was an account that was accessible. Not that they're on, you know, and so like when you have an account and you get on, let's say, your spouse's computer.
Right.
It wasn't her computer. So there's no issue about any violation of being under oath.
She had.
But at the end of the day, when he then takes the extraordinary step to basically say there's some new material that's pertinent, doesn't say what it is, when there's express Department of Justice policy designed exactly for this purpose, to not interfere with an election, because we don't know what the decision is.
So why did he do it in your opinion?
He did it. I think this is my opinion as to why he did it.
Okay, then I'll hear John's.
I think he did it because he messed it up from the beginning, as I've described. Mm-hmm. It was out of protocol for him to have that initial conference. It was out of protocol the way he handled it from the beginning.
So the cover.
And I think he, to the extent John's trying to say, it's all because of what they did before. No. This is a classic example, actually, of he made the mess, it got worse, and now he made it even worse because we have no idea what's in there.
I'll grant you he mishandled it by finding that she had been extremely careless with her emails and then not taken that issue to a grand jury and the DOJ. Yes, he had mishandled it. That's what the Republicans have been saying all this time. And yes, he now feels probably that there is a smoking gun and he wants to look at it.
Look, so cases are based on evidence, not on how you feel it might be.
You yourself have said that he mishandled it in the beginning, and there must be something else.
I said he mishandled it by going out and talking about it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Now he's bringing it back home, and he's saying, wait a minute, there's more here than I thought, and I need to let the American public know.
How could he know? Okay. He didn't even get a warrant until Sunday. He didn't even know what's in there.
Okay, guys, thank you very much.
He's seen the emails.
John Munger, thank you, John, for coming in. And Vince Robico, always a pleasure. Thank you, Vince, for coming in. And believe it or not, folks, these guys are friends. They will walk out of here friends. They walk in here friends. They're friends.
We're friends.
They're friends.
I'll punch him in a second. I'm just kidding.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented
by Just a joke.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you, Moe. Great having you on board. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Check it out.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday on Buckmaster at Noon, the monthly Your Med segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. Also, hockey writer Tim Gasson talking about the launch of Professional Hockey in the Desert, seems to be a big hit. And Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, live streaming at BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by one of my favorite places to go for my gardening needs. The name of the business is Green Things. It's very appropriate because, my goodness, there are a lot of green things on 13 acres. Jan and Jack, the owners, when they took over, there were 4 acres. They expanded to 13, and I'm telling you, it's a beautiful property. It's located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com. They do these free workshops Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m., different gardening topics, and it's a great way to learn about gardening. Well, the master plan of the Tucson Parks and Recreation System has been adopted by the mayor and council in the city of Tucson. Joan Stauch is with us. Joan is the director, actually new director. Within the last 30 days, Joan has taken over as the director of the City of Tucson Parks and Recreation Department. Fred Gray, the longtime director, has retired. Joan's been with the city for more than 30 years, so it's not like she's coming into a new community. She knows the City of Tucson. Joan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, congratulations. And this master plan is very extensive, and I know there was a lot that went into it. Why did the city feel it was time to kind of put together this system master plan? I'm sure there was one before this. Was this kind of an update?
It was exactly that. It was an update. And master plans typically are used to gauge the pulse of the community. Are we doing what the community wants us to do? So oftentimes, especially in government, we get our charge and we get our ideas and we move forward. And so it's a good idea to kind of change our perspective, you know, get out on the balcony, if you will, and look down on the dance floor and see what's going on, and to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the community. Over the past 7 years or so, we've had a series of changes, a series of budgetary constraints and hits. We've made a lot of technical changes and adaptations to the operations at Parks and Recreation. So it's perfectly appropriate to go out and see how the community's impacted, take a look at all the assets we have out there, what are the conditions of those assets, and really what's important to the community to help guide future decision making.
We have over 100 parks, don't we?
Absolutely.
I mean, it is. It's over 100 parks, and it's a lot of there's a lot of maintenance. You were mentioning, you know, the difficult times after the market went south. The city had some very difficult times. Not that those times are behind us entirely. It's still, you know, a very difficult time, I think, for many municipalities. So how what came back from this series of public open house meetings? I know you had a lot of face-to-face questionnaires. People were able to comment. Generally speaking, Joan, do people in Tucson like their parks?
Absolutely. Our community recognizes the value that green space and trails and a place to recreate and just get away, the important value it brings to our community. What came out of it is 4 areas of focus: reinvestment, awareness. Many people in our community don't know what we offer, or if they do know what we offer, they don't know how to get it. So we've got to improve that awareness. Partnerships. As we go forward, every single industry needs to establish strong partnerships so that we can leverage our resources and get the most bang that we possibly can. We also have a focus on health and wellness, which is something that, you know, Parks and Recreation is critical in providing. You mentioned the downturn in the economy mm-hmm. and maybe not being through it. We have a new city manager with Mike Ortega, and one of his first challenges that the mayor and council put forth to him that he met was delivering a structurally balanced budget. That is huge. That is not something the city has done in many, many years. So he presented to the mayor and council a structurally balanced budget. The next step is to identify more improved operating efficiencies. To this end, there is a huge effort to really recognize that our city has suffered long, not just in parks, but throughout the entire city, and we need a focused effort to reinvest in those facilities, and that aligns perfectly with the results that we got from the community. They want us to take care of what we have, rebuild those items that have fallen by the wayside due to disrepair, deferred maintenance, and really invest in our community.
All right, let's go to our Buckmaster Show live line. Our friend Jim is with us, Jim Kelly. Jim, you're with the new Parks and Recreation Director for the City of Tucson, Joan Stauch.
Thank you, Bill, for letting me ask this question. Joan, when you were doing your measurements from community feedback, what was the result for safety and security? Because I got to tell you, when I talk to parents, they want to make sure that there's not a bunch of homeless people or drug addicts or needles or broken crack pipes, things like that, all over the park. And how was that addressed by your group's feedback?
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim, for that question. You know, our relationship with the Tucson Police Department is critical in this area, as well as with the Department of Community Services and Housing, which has millions and millions of dollars in homeless programs. And what we need to do, it's critically important. We get calls on a daily basis to respond to debris in parks or people loitering in parks or spending the night in parks when that's not appropriate. And our police department is a strong partner with us. But going forward, it's trying to address the homeless population and what can we do to take care of those that are most vulnerable in our community.
How about maintenance? I think people, as you pointed out a few moments ago, they do want the city to care for the parks that we do have. I mean, they're kind of our crown jewels. And to do that, you got to have good maintenance.
Absolutely. And I don't want to say anything about what's been happening up mm-hmm. until now. I believe truly that people do the best job that they can with the resources and tools that they have in front of them. But I come from a very data-driven system of robust asset management. And I use a lot of data and a lot of metrics to ensure best practices are taken place. And that's one of the strengths that I bring to this department, is really trying to identify what's out there, what's available, and do it on a regular and systematic basis. Identify the priorities and then address them. We need to be able to kind of rip off the band-aid, if you will, and embrace any of those deficiencies so that we can address them in a systematic way.
You're very much data-driven.
I am so data-driven.
Well, and quickly about your background. I mean, you do know the city pretty intimately.
Yes, I'm a lifelong Tucsonan. Yeah. I grew up just south of the park.
Okay. So what would you, before you took the job, what did you think, what was your feeling about our parks that probably much of this survey has reinforced what you feel, that people, they like parks and they probably
like
would
parks.
Want even more of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our parks, from our Ramadas being booked on a just consistently and regularly, to our wonderful and beautiful zoo, to our sports programs and our leisure classes. There is a high demand for a wide variety of diverse services.
And right now you're kind of in the, you are new to the job, so you're kind of in a fact-gathering mode. So we'll have you back in a few months and find out kind of where, what you, you know, what, how you're looking at the parks from that point of view after you've been the director for a while.
Okay.
But we did want to put you on, Joan, because this park master plan is kind of now the first step, and now it's implementing it.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
12:44 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Monday, and our thanks to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, for their fine sponsorship of the program. And quite honestly, they want to get the word out. They want Tucsonans to take a 3-hour road trip, and they want to show off their community, a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, and specifically the southwestern portion of New Mexico. I really recommend Silver City. Historic community, so many recreation opportunities, and really nice places to stay. So it's a great weekend. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There's some 24 places to stay listed there, and a like number of many opportunities to recreate. We now welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Brendan Lyons is with us. Brendan is the executive director of Look Save a Life. Brendan, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you.
This Look Save a Life was launched here earlier this month, and I was driving down Speedway yesterday, and I saw a Tucson Police Department vehicle with a really nicely done Look Save a Life, all part of your campaign.
Right.
How did all of this begin?
So Look Save a Life originally was founded here in Southern Arizona back in 2012, originally stemming from the national chapter back in 2009 in Boise, Idaho. My career was as a firefighter back in got on the job back in 2009, and very passionate about cycling. I had an unfortunate run-in with a crash with a distracted motorist back then. Fast forward to 2011, had a secondary incident with another distracted driver who was cited at fault. And as a firefighter, having responded to the often tragic consequences of distracted driving, and in about a course of a month between that secondary crash, I had responded to 6 crashes, and a couple of those were fatal incidents. And it compelled me to do something. I saw a problem. I saw a need in our community to create this campaign. And I reached out to these guys in Boise and said, hey, how do you start a campaign of awareness? My background, I know how to put water on fire. Don't know anything about running an organization. And by that, we were founded in 2012. Ironically, a year after starting this campaign, on the morning of my fiance's birthday, we went out for a bike ride yet again. And on the morning of October 4th, 2013, we were struck from behind by a distracted motorist at 45 miles per hour, coming close to nearly taking my life to the very message I was already advocating. And at 45 miles an hour, a distracted motorist struck us both. I sustained 6 fractured vertebrae, fractured pelvis on both sides.
Oh, my.
And throughout my recovery, I worked closely with some state lawmakers, bipartisanship, Senator Steve Farley and, at the time, Representative Ethan Orr, Republican, and trying to create a statewide bill on statewide legislation for texting while driving. And unfortunately, to date, Arizona is still one of 2 states that have failed to adopt such a ban.
You know, that is ironic, and Senator Farley really was in the forefront of this whole movement about, you know, getting texting banned while driving. But Arizona is one of, you, as you point out, one of 2 states that haven't gotten on board. So you're lucky, really, to be alive. You've had this series of incidents while cycling.
Correct, yes, sir. And so this campaign, this new campaign that's been launched, is focused also on cyclists, encouraging motorists to give cyclists 3 feet when passing. That is a state law. And the campaign features leaders in the community, such as 3-star general of the United States Air Force, General Chris Nolan, is featured. We have TUSD principal of Hollinger Elementary. We've got a neurosurgeon radiologist. We've got Captain Chad Kazmar is featured. And then the intro and outro is done by Sheriff Chris Nanos, as well as Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus. And really, it's been a great campaign, along with these PSAs that we featured. As you mentioned in the introduction, we've been able to wrap 3 department vehicles on Oro Valley Police Department, Tucson Police Department, and Pima County Sheriff's Department, conveying these messages to the general public. It's great PR, it's education, it's awareness, and it's getting that word out.
We have, we're running them on our station. We're part of the campaign, very proud of that. And so people will hear that throughout the day on KVOI. What? Tell me about, of course it is radio, so you're going to have to describe it. So there's on the sheriff's vehicle, you've got that all done up. And as I pointed out, I saw one on the city vehicle, and then there's one in Oro Valley. So
correct.
What do they show?
So the 3 messages on the bottom side panel below the department logo is distracted driving enforcement. And this is a reminder that, hey, law enforcement is out on the roads, ensuring that, you know, a moment's distraction can be a lifetime of regret. And then on the rear of the vehicle, we have a motorist looking at her cell phone with, in silhouettes, we have a cyclist, a mother pushing a stroller, we've got a jogger, different people in the community who are vulnerable on our roadways, and with the message that a moment's distraction is a lifetime of regret. And then on the other side panel is the logo of Look, Save a Life. And so again, this is a great PR, great partnership. All three agencies are looking at the way distracted driving is addressed and realizing that it has become, in our society, a growing epidemic and health crisis.
And it doesn't have to be just texting. People can be fiddling around with whatever in the car, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
right.
So you're just trying to get awareness that when you see a bicycle, give them plenty of room.
Correct.
I know I always, when I pass a bicyclist, whether it's on River Road or somewhere else, I'm always kind of thinking about, well, what if they, you know, kind of swerve? I'm aware of where they are, and if there's a problem, I want to give them plenty of room.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And that's entirely the effect. And certainly for those who may not ride bicycles, may find cyclists to be annoying or impeding your commute, at the end of the day, we're all trying to get from point A to point B. And our campaign very much addresses that safety is everyone's responsibility and encourage cyclists to as well follow the rules of the road.
Now, people will see these on the sheriff's vehicle. There's one on the sheriff's vehicle, one on the police department, one in Oro Valley. What other messages? You've got the radio, and you've got TV.
We've got TV spots, which are very similar to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have bus stop shelter ads that are featured throughout the city and county as well.
Well, this is new to you. I mean, yeah, you've been a firefighter, and now you're into PR and marketing.
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, always been into saving lives and trying to make a difference in our community, and I think that's what it fits. I mean, I became a firefighter with the intention to help and to help either prevent collisions, prevent tragic incidents from occurring, or helping in time of need. And now, you know, as the executive director of Look, Save a Life, I've often been in touch with families who've lost loved ones, where often left behind to pick up the pieces. And so it's a complete avoidable tragic consequence that, once again, a moment's distraction can be a lifetime of regret.
Now, you said this, the campaign Look, Save a Life started, I believe you said, in Boise.
Correct.
Is that right? How long ago was that?
So that started right about the same time I first got on the fire department with Rural Metro back in 2009. They started it as a group of cyclists on a club that had lost a close friend of theirs. He was struck and killed by a distracted motorist. And at that time, I was just pursuing my dream as a firefighter, and they were doing their thing, and we later got connected back within my second incident in 2011.
How about, have they seen the numbers go down as far as accidents?
You know, this is one of those things that it's a growing trend as far, you know, not just regionally, but throughout the country. And I think, you know, looking back, we've often pointed a great focus on driving while under the influence. Well, now with technology, we have got this growing trend of distracted driving collisions. In fact, just this weekend, I was struck from behind on the interstate. It was a mild incident, but
yeah, I'm one of your friends on Facebook, and I saw that when you posted that Friday, and that was scary.
Yeah, it was very scary. I mean, thankfully, there was no serious injuries out of this, but it, you know, on the interstate, it could have been very, very tragic, especially with all the recent other fatalities that we've seen in our local news. You know, it's heartbreaking, but a constant reminder to pay attention.
Where can people get a hold of you who would like you to speak to their groups, the service groups, or someone from your organization? What's a good starting point?
Absolutely. They can find out more information on our website at looksavealife.org. We're also on social media, Look Save a Life of Arizona, to directly contact us. Or if they'd like to email me, we do a lot of presentations at local high schools, schools, or, as you said, even
Facebook, too. You're all over that.
Yeah, and so they can email me directly at looksavealifeaz@gmail.com.
How are you doing from that, when you were hit by that motorist at 45 miles an hour? Are you having any pain from that?
You know, it's funny you say that. I, I was recently invited to go on this trip. Bill Walton, of all people, basketball legend, invited me to go on this ride in California. And 620 miles from San Francisco to San Diego. And it was for the Challenge Athletes Foundation. And on that ride, I rode alongside people who have lost arms, lost legs. They're paraplegics, quadriplegics. So I'll be honest, after going on that, I really can't have very many complaints. I'm lucky to be alive first and foremost, but then lucky to be able to walk and have all these. So any complaints that I share with you right now would not do any justice for those who have sustained or lost lives.
Brendan Lyons, thank you very much for what you're doing with Look Save a Life, and it's looksavealife.org. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, we have Mike Chack with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson from 6 until 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, I'll be back with you with Ray Allen and his smiling face on the other side of the glass, ready to turn the dials and make sure everybody's coming across A-OK. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.